KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of AFFECT, a community event about the work, culture, and design of social change. The conference will take place October 7th and 8th at the Ziba Auditorium in Portland. AFFECT will feature talks from Spawn On Me creator and podcaster Khalif Adams, Ferguson activist and social impact designer Dee Nichols, Nadia Gathers from Code 2040, and many more. Again, that's AFFECT, October 7th and 8th at the Ziba Auditorium, 810 Northwest Marshall Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Cascadia. Today is Tuesday, October 4th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. Today's guest is none other than Joseph Bogart with Save Our Wild Salmon Coalition. You'll be on in just a moment. We have to first get to a little bit of weather, and it's the wet sort of weather that we're having. Good thing, too. It's a good thing. Though, if you farm, you're going to watch out for the lurking moles and mildews. Today shows thunderstorms possible to keep threatening them. Later on in the day, highs around 61 and south wind 9 to 14, gusting up to 21. Just to make things interesting, apparently. And tonight, more rain coming in and thunderstorm possibility, lows around 54. And winds, again, 14 miles per hour, gusting up to 21 for tomorrow. It stays wet and it stays stormy. High around 62 and, again, breezy 9 to 11, gusting up into the 20s, probably out in the gorge. And the chance of rain is absolutely 90% for tomorrow. And tomorrow night shows us are letting up a little bit. Lows around 50 and breezy. That's the weather for your bioregion, Cascadia, where, in fact, over the decades, over the, probably the last century, human presence had taken a toll, it's had an effect on habitat. We are indeed creatures, animals. We live in a habitat just like other animals. Nature is not sentimental. We are exactly as important as an earthworm. And it doesn't matter whether we think of ourselves as spiritual beings who are of a higher nature, and that therefore nature will have a higher regard for us. Nature doesn't. Nature is not sentimental about it. If there's too many earthworms in a particular habitat, nature will wipe out enough of them to get back into semi-balance. Equilibrium equals death, so we're never at a static equilibrium, but it's the pendulum sways back and forth, and right now humans have reached a peak population, beyond peak population, and we have had deleterious effects on salmon and fish populations, which we've hit so hard, where now people shoot sea lions to make up for the fact that we've ruined salmon habitat and eaten them almost out of existence. This organizations like Save Our Wild Salmon have appeared in response to these conditions that are driving salmon to extinction. And we're going to be talking about one last desperate effort to address the situation. Waters are warming, and when you think about the enormous river systems and the incredible complexity of those systems and the feeble effort, we've caused this, so we imagine that we therefore can fix it. Well, we can try, we can always try. We do in fact have Joseph Bogart on the line. I just want to very, very quickly try to race through just a couple of headlines. We have a good one here. The spokeswoman for Republican gubernatorial candidate Bud Pierce says she's resigning because at the City Club Forum last Friday, I was there, I heard him say it, and in the room you could feel the atmosphere chill, and there was a ripple of outrage and voices raised against this fool's ridiculous remarks. Stacey Kafka said that she quit as communications director for Bud Pierce's campaign from Duke for governor, just hours after Pierce had said that successful women aren't as susceptible to domestic abuse and sexual violence as those on lower economic rungs. Well, you see, there you go. It turns out if you're banging on the glass ceiling, nobody's trying to bang on you. They're banging on lower socioeconomic women. Whoa, what encouragement to do better in life, right? Anyway, not that for Stacey Kafka. She's not having it. She quit. Bud Pierce apologized. But, you know, you cannot apologize for your reptile brain. Your reptile brain's going to have its way with the world, whether you like it or not. Another note here. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has now declared bees an endangered species. There's seven species of yellow-faced bees. They're native to the Hawaiian Islands, but they are the first bees in the country to be protected under the Endangered Species Act. That's one of the saddest pieces of news. And again, that is not good news for the human species. And we can only begin to imagine what's coming. The Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press has got a new incredible FOIA wiki that is open to one and all. Do use it. Do file Freedom of Information Act requests because now the Reporters Committee has made it so very easy. We got a little ripple of earthquakes up and down the West Coast, and the feds say that they are not going to evict Standing Rock. So there is that to talk about, and many other things to talk about with regard to Standing Rock. And we're going to get to that news tomorrow because we've got really important news right now, right here in our own Cascadia. And to address that, Joseph Bogart joins us with Save Our Wild Salmon. Good morning, Joseph. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris. It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
My first question for you is: these four dams, how much are they really contributing to the energy draw? We know we've got a great many more consumers that are demanding energy as people flood into the state. So, are these dams, though, really paying their way? And can we afford to lose any more salmon? I don't know. I don't think so.
Well, thanks for having me on and for this topic. It's a really important and timely one today. And the, of course, the dams you're referring to are the four lower Snake River dams. The Snake River, for your listeners who may not know, is the biggest tributary to the Columbia River that flows out of Idaho and Wyoming. In eastern Washington, eastern Oregon. And the lower Snake has four dams on it that were built by the federal government in the 60s and 70s. And they were built to provide two basic functions, some electrical production and heavily subsidized barge transportation to make Lewiston, Idaho, a seaport. 400 miles inland. There were people pushing for the construction of these dams starting back in the 40s, but the Army Corps actually resisted building them for almost three decades because they didn't pencil out in the first instance. And so, but that pressure was maintained, and Congress eventually had its way with the agency. All the other more valuable sites for dams in the Columbia Basin were built out with dams. Of course, we've got, you know, several dozen major dams, federal and private. We've got, when you add them all together, public and private dams, there's probably 400 dams in the Columbia Basin. And so it's no wonder that salmon have had such a difficult time surviving. And indeed, we've lost many distinct populations over the last century or
so. Not to mention that there are also there are eels and lampreys, different species of these creatures that are being hit so hard, terribly.
Absolutely, the hydro system and the system of dams in the basin has dissected and disconnected this once fully connected ecosystem that connected the many states, two countries. And freshwater to saltwater. And today, because of all these dams, salmon and other creatures that you're mentioning that are really important to the ecosystem and the peoples of the Northwest have been badly harmed. But to get back to your question about the are the dams paying their way? I think that people who've looked closely at this issue have questions about whether the Lower Snake River dams ever paid their way in the very first instance. But what's become clear in recent years is that its costs, the costs of those four dams are rising while the benefits are declining. And so it's very hard today to justify defending the dams based on their economic contributions, because the economic costs to taxpayers and people who pay for electricity in the region are very, very high. And as these dams age, their costs are going to increase, and it's very likely that their services, the barge transportation and the energy that they provide, are going to decline as well. So we're and on top of it, of course, they are a critical linchpin in the survival of these important iconic fish. On the Snake River, we've already lost forever the Snake River coho, wild coho. That was lost back in the 1980s. The four remaining populations of wild salmon and steelhead, sockeye, fall chinook, spring summer chinook, and steelhead, are all either threatened or endangered on the Endangered Species Act. And of course, as we were talking before, you mentioned how hard these already endangered populations were hit last year with the unusually warm conditions and low precipitation levels that contributed to very hot rivers that, for example, killed 99% of the Snake River sockeye that entered the mouth of the river, never made it home because they were effectively poached, caught up by disease that was caused by the warm waters, the hot waters, on their way home. So and of course, that very unusual situation is becoming more common. We're routinely violating Clean Water Act standards. The rivers are routinely too warm, and they're going to get warmer. Of course, Save Our Wild Salmon and many other groups have long been advocating for the removal of these four high-cost, low-value dams and the replacement of their very modest services with more efficient, clean, salmon-friendly alternatives. And there's been a lot of work looking at the economics, the replacement alternatives, and it's what John Kitzhaber said 16 years ago was Lower Snake River dam removal is a no-brainer. It's what we need to restore this river, its fisheries, and what those fish represent to so many communities and peoples, tribal and non-tribal, jobs and so forth across the region, including across the West Coast.
We've got about 60 seconds left. Do you want to just wrap this up for us by giving listeners an idea of how what it would look like, how with dams removed, how would the river systems look then?
I think dam removal is. I mean, I'll agree with former Governor Kitzhaber. It's a no-brainer. Returning those rivers to a free-flowing state is going to restore the habitat complexity and the types of conditions that salmon evolved in. And I think if we give them back a river, they know what to do. They're going to thrive and recover and provide all the benefits to the ecosystem and the community, human communities as well. One thing I'd like to share with your listeners is that there's going to be a very important opportunity for the public to engage in this conversation about the fate of the Lower Snake River dams this fall. There's going to be hearings in Portland, in the Dalles, in Astoria, as well as around the region, where the federal agencies who are responsible for a serially illegal salmon strategy over 20 years that's cost us $15 billion and hasn't recovered or restored a single population, they're under court order being required to go out to the public and ask for ideas and study all the alternatives, including Lower Snake River dam removal. And I would encourage your listeners to attend these hearings December 6th, 7th, and 8th in the Dalles, Portland, and Astoria. You can find more information at wildsalmon.org. Feel free to contact me to find out how to get involved. You can find my phone number and email address on the website. And I think this is a critical opportunity to